Going to turn our attention to our scripture for this morning. It's taken from the 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's page 1048 if you have a Bible on the chair back in front of you. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, beginning at verse 12. Unity and diversity in the body. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But, in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. The Lord's Word.
Well, over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at our mission vision statement, and you can see it right up there at the front. You know, we exist to help people begin the journey with Jesus, and then to grow in relationship with him, and then to serve the world. And we've looked at those first couple parts of the vision mission, and we said that to help people begin the journey, we want to pray for people, invest our lives into people with no strings attached relationships, and then invite them to take next steps spiritually. And then in growing, it's great to have you here today because part of growing says, where Hebrews states, let's not give up meeting together. This is part of meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another, and that's what we're doing here, and that's also what we do in community groups. And again, if you aren't a part of a small group, a community group, you can go to our Taste of Groups immediately following the service down in the parlor. And then this week, we're looking at the whole issue of serving the world or serving the Lord. You could kind of put it either way. They're synonymous, but we want to talk about what it looks like and why it's important that every single person, every part of the body, find a place to enter into serving. So let's pray, and we'll dive in. Lord, we thank you for this word that you've given us that talks about the importance and the way that the church works, and we pray that you will speak to each one of us about the part that we are to play. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Part of God's big purpose for every single person who ever follows him, whoever it is that they would be involved in some type of serving the Lord. And that serving can take a lot of different forms. It can be in the church. It can be right here on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday or whenever. It can be across the street as you serve a neighbor in certain areas that they have needs. It can be down the road. I think of Healthy Harvest in particular and of our wonderful ministry with tutoring and in School 19. And it can be around the world as we serve through missions and ways that we equip missionaries around the world. But whatever it is, however it is that we find a way that we want to each be involved in serving. Ephesians 2:10 says this. This is written by the Apostle Paul. He says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And so what he's saying is, we were made to serve. We are God's workmanship, but we are created to do something that's beyond ourselves, more than just, what do I get out of it? I mean, that's pretty human of us, and it's okay to ask that. What do I get out of something? But rather to say, what can I give to it? How can I serve? How can I go beyond myself? And Paul even says there that there are specific things that God has for us to do. He says, good works. That's our service to God, whatever it is that God has prepared in advance for us to do. And I was talking to a friend last week, and I noticed that her boss was not there at the business. And so I said, well, where's your boss today? Where's Michael? And she said, oh, he's serving. He takes off an afternoon every week. Must be nice, right? He leaves, you know, he's the owner. She said, so he leaves work and he goes downtown with Food Link and he serves meals one afternoon a week to people in need. And she said, I said, that's great. Good for Michael. It's great that he can do that. She goes, oh no, it's not just good for Michael, it's good for all of us. She said, he's an unhappy guy. That's what she said. She goes, he's just unhappy. Anything you do, he's not happy about it. But he's been serving, and in serving, he's beginning to get happier. That's what she said. And it's not that he's a Christian or anything. He just is finding that when he gives, he does better. His life goes better. And so she said, because Michael's happy, we're happy. You know, it's kind of like marriage. You know, if one's happy, the other's happy. If one's not, look out. So everybody's happy. Everybody's happy because Michael's happy. And I thought, how interesting that is. It's not just for the church. It's not just for those who have made a decision to profess faith in Christ and follow the Lord. The principle of the value of serving goes for every human being. It's like God has put it in the human personality that we're to do something that goes beyond ourselves. And in doing that, we meet part of the purpose, part of the reason for which we're made. So it works across the board. Now, it's a little different in the church, and I would say part of the difference is that when we do good deeds, say you're serving in Healthy Harvest, for example, in our city ministry, when we do good deeds, what Jesus lets us know is that when we serve other people, it's actually that we're serving the Lord. It's an unusual thing, but Jesus says this in Matthew 25:40. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And so when we talk about serving the world or serving the Lord, it's serving the Lord. It's serving Jesus, because whatever it is that we do when we serve, when we do it for God, doesn't matter what the ministry is, we're serving Jesus. So this is an incredibly important thing for the church. That goes a little bit beyond my friend that's serving at Food Link. Although if he did that for the Lord, he's serving the Lord. Right? Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 12, Paul shares a few things that are really important about the church and about why we serve and how it is that we serve. And I just want to unpack a few of these things. First thing he says about the church is that, and he refers to the church as the body of Christ, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But he says the church is actually two things at the same time. It's one thing, but at the very same time, it's something else. And it's unusual how he says it, but think of it this way. What if somebody came up to you and they said, describe your church. Describe it ontologically. You'd say, ontologically? Right? Describe the nature of your church. Not how it works, but what it is. What is the being of the church? How does it not just operate, but what is it philosophically? What is its being? You might struggle a little bit to be able to figure out how to explain that or even how to think about what is the church, really. Well, Paul makes it pretty clear here. He says the church is two things. He says on the one hand, the church is a body. That's a body as a whole. But he says at the same time, this body has many parts. And then he says it differently. He says, or look at it this way. The church is like these many parts. Look around. These are the many parts. But they all come together and they form this one body. And that's how the church is ontologically in its being. And so you might say, well, does that just mean for us? No, it means for the church invisible, the church around the world, everybody who professes Christ as their king, as their savior, that is the church invisible. You don't know who they are because nobody has a sign saying that they followed Christ, but that church as a whole is one body. It doesn't matter the denomination. And denominations are man-made sorts of things. It's all sorts of denominations. What matters is Christ. And he says you're one body, but then you're many parts. You're many people, you're many denominations, all that sort of thing. Now, at the same time, it also applies to a church locally. And so locally, it's at a smaller level. We're only about 400 people, so we're a smaller group. But what it is we're one body as a church. But when you look at all the different people around you, and we're all so unique, we're also different parts. And so we're all different people, we're all unique, we're all our own parts, but we come together to form one body. Now, I know that's kind of philosophical and it's a little bit difficult, and I don't even think I explained it that well. So what I want to do is provide a video that I think can make this even clearer when we say that this one body is made up of many parts. So let's take a look.
Hi, my name is Patrick Morrison. I, in the past, have served on numerous serve teams at the church, anything from children's ministries to, and today I can see myself sort of as the fill-in-what-needs-to-be-done kind of guy.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Brown, and I serve in Greenhouse with our K through 5th graders.
Hi, I'm Robert Hill, and I serve on the Healthy Harvest tutoring team on Wednesdays.
Hey, I'm Amanda Wilson, and I serve on Teen Talk, which is really fancy for, it's Sunday school for teenagers.
I'm Tom Post, and I serve on all the behind-the-scenes serve teams, so nobody can see me.
My name is Yvonne Adams. I serve on the Worship Arts serve team. I've been doing that for a long time.
I'm Richard. I serve on the Greenhouse team with the K through 5th graders.
I have worked a lot of years in the world doing addiction services, and I saw a lot of people that had no hope. What we do, what God is, what faith is, that's the hope.
What it means to me is an opportunity to form relationships with kids who maybe don't have those relationships in their lives.
When I started serving, it took my relationship from an acquaintance to a friendship because I was doing it for God, and I was doing it to kind of grow with not only the people at church, but what ended up happening is I was growing too.
I think when we read Bible stories and apply truth looking from a kid's perspective, it really encourages me to apply those truths in my own life. And I think sometimes by reading Bible stories from a kid's view, it helps bring out truths that you thought you learned so long ago but you've kind of forgotten about or aren't applying now.
When they walk in and we start the activity, and then when we sit down and do songs and we do large group, and then when we go into small group, and each time they smile, it just warms my heart up and it just makes me want to come back every other week. And doing it for 5 years, so their smiles are really contagious.
So that's 1 Corinthians 12. There it is. That's what Paul's saying. If Paul could have done a video, that would have been it. Okay? What he's saying is it's many parts. We're all unique, but we come together and we serve the Lord together, one body. And that's the church in its being. The second thing, though, that Paul talks about here that's so important is that he says you have a vital role to play in the church. And when I'm using the word you, I mean you. every single person has a vital role to play. So you might look at yourself and go, I'm not that important. Yes, you are. I remember I had this discussion with my son Dylan, and Dylan's sick, so he's not here today, or he would have been serving. But Dylan's 13, and I remember when he said to me, you know, I look around, I don't have all that many skills, I don't really have anything I can offer the Lord, and so he didn't do anything. And then he found out about Greenhouse, and he found out about Richard. You saw Richard on there, and Richard invited him to serve on Greenhouse. And Dylan watched Richard, and Richard was having a good time, and then Dylan started having a good time. And now he's there every week serving the kids from grade K through 5th. And he still looks and he goes, well, I'll say, how'd it go? I don't really have much to offer. I don't really give. Yes, you do. Every single person has value. You have a vital role. Look at verse 18. It says, in fact, you see, we don't think we're that important, but in fact, he says, God has placed the parts in the body, that means us, God has placed the parts in the body, each one of them, just as he wanted them to be. In other words, we look at things, it's not an accident that we hear. We look at Edgewood, we go, what a coincidence. Here we are, just sort of doing church together. No, not a coincidence. He says, God has a plan, and he has a plan for every single person to be and to serve just as he wanted them to be. And that means that you are important. That means that every single person that is a part of the church has value and meaning and plays a vital role. Now, they're different roles, but they're vital roles. All hands on deck is what he's saying here. God has you here for a reason, and there's a purpose, and it's important. And so everybody, he says, is here as he wanted them to be. The way he's saying in here, it's like there's no appendix in the body of Christ. Because I've known a lot of people who, don't let me know, don't raise your hand because it's going to gross me out if everybody raises their hand and says I had my appendix out, okay? But here's the thing. I've known many people who have an appendix out. They have never, ever said to me, I miss it so much. I've never heard that. I miss it. I wake up. I miss it so much. Nobody ever misses their appendix. So there's no appendix in the body of Christ. People are livers. You're like, ew. All right. So you're a hand or an eye or a mouth, whatever you are. But every person has a vital role to play. And you say, well, what happens if I just don't want to play? Well, I'll tell you what happens. If you say, well, I don't want to play my role. I don't want to do my vital piece. What that means is that somebody else is going to have to pick up your slack. That's the truth of it. We don't like to speak so crassly in church, but that's what it is. If you don't fill the place that God has for you, then somebody else is double timing it. That's what they're doing. They're doing double duty because you got to find your place and serve. Every part of the body of Christ. And when he talks parts, he's talking people. Every person is vital. Every person is important. Now, I have an event that's etched in my memory, and I'm sure it is for you too. It's the 2015 NBA Championships, and I know you're remembering back right now. You're hearkening back to the teams, and if you don't remember it, I'll just review it for you. It's really exciting stuff. The Cleveland Cavaliers, who are arguably the best team in the world, the Cavaliers were playing the Golden State Warriors in the finals 2 years ago. And it was a terrible thing to watch because what happened was everybody had these hopes for Cleveland. They'd never won a championship, and LeBron is coming along, and I think maybe there's a chance with LeBron James that we can win a championship. And so in the series before the finals, Cleveland has this forward. His name is Kevin Love. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. He's one of the best forwards in the game. And some brute in the series before basically just took Kevin's arm. Kevin's not real strong, okay? He's tall and lanky. And they just ripped his arm, And it basically came out of socket and all sorts of ligament damage. And Kevin couldn't play anymore. So now they're without Kevin Love. And then in the series with Golden State, the Cleveland Cavaliers also have the greatest guard in the world. His name's Kyrie Irving. He's unbelievable, the stuff that he can do. Wake up, those who don't like basketball. All right, so Kyrie Irving. And he's, all right, are you with me now? Kyrie. And he's amazing at the way that he plays and the things he dipsy doodles with that ball. And then he went down and he hurt his ankle. And he's out of the series. And I thought, oh no, what's going to happen? LeBron's going to have to score 80 points a game. Because what are they going to do without these two players? Well, sure enough, they started to lose. I'll never forget the reporter that said to LeBron James, he goes, LeBron, I've noticed that your team is getting soundly beaten by Golden State. Why do you think that is? Are you kidding me? What kind of question is that? And LeBron kind of looked at him with sort of a half smile, half hate look, and he's like, too much talent in suits, man. Too much talent in suits. You know what that means? These guys get hurt, they dress up in suits, they look great, and they sit on the bench. And that's why the team lost. You know why churches lose? Churches lose. Churches all over the world close and lose, not because they don't believe the right stuff and not because they don't love God. Churches lose because there's too much talent in suits. And I don't mean a literal suit. I mean people that say, you know what? Look at all these people. Look at all these folks. I don't need to get in the game. I'm going to dress up in a suit and hang out and do my own thing because they don't need me. What Paul is saying is, yes, we do. God needs you. God has a place for every single person in the life of the church. There is a role to play, and it is vital. It is vital. That's what he says. God has placed us in the body for this purpose. Now, the next thing that Paul says is, I think, equally important. And he says this. He says, there's no small service in the service to God. There is no service that's little or unimportant. Like, well, look what that person does. That's important. But what this person does over here, that's not as important. Not so. Paul says that every service to God is essential. There is no insignificant ministry. For example, I'll give you an example of some things. There are some ministries where people are visible. So if somebody sings or somebody speaks or so on, they're visible. But then there are invisible ministries. There are things behind the scenes, things that Tom Post does, right? Because he's like, I'm behind the scenes because I don't want to be seen. I want to be behind the scenes. Those behind-the-scenes ministries are every bit as valuable as anything else that is done because without those, the church is closed. Without those, the church isn't able to advance the cause of Christ and advance the kingdom because every ministry has value. Every service is incredibly important. I'll give you a few examples of some service that you may not recognize has happened recently. Back around Christmas, like Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, I don't know if you watch this stuff, I do, but ISIS, I hate to mention ISIS in a service, but it's all over. You hear it every day anyway, so I'll bring it up. ISIS said that they were going to make Christmas Eve a time of violence in churches across the world. And when they said that, I took note of it, and I thought, yeah, how likely is that? One in a million? I mean, really, how likely is it? I don't know how likely it is. You can't really know. And so I called up a couple friends in our church that are a part of this congregation that are cops. And I said, look, you know, I know you've got some skills in the whole area of security and protecting people. We need you. Can you step up? And so you probably didn't even know that happened. But during the Christmas Eve services and the Christmas Day service, we had our plainclothes cops. I'm just saying, you never know where they are or what they're doing, but they're here. and they had weaponry. They were ready. Nobody knew what they had. Nobody saw what they had, but they were ready to take on any problem that was coming in. I remember with Christmas Eve, one of our policemen, I remembered where he sat, and I kind of watched it. I was like, that's an interesting place that he's sitting. He was trying to get a perspective of the whole room. I don't think he even heard the message. And then the next day, on Christmas Day, we had a different police officer that's part of our church. He sat in the exact same seat. And I'm like, did they talk? I need to ask them, you know. Did you guys talk, or is that just this thing you know? But I'm telling you, this place was secure and protected because parts of the body, there's no insignificant part. They played that role. They served and used their gifts of security and protection. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but the cafe looks a lot different. Have you noticed that? There's like new cabinets and new outlets and all this stuff and different things that are there. And I've had a couple people say to me, what in the world did that cost to do that? That must have been a fortune. Well, here's the thing. No, it wasn't. Because we didn't hire any of that work. We had people with gifts in carpentry and electrical gifts and all that sort of thing. This team that gathered, they love building cabinets and setting them in place and making sure that things are safe electrically. They took care of the whole thing. I don't know how many thousands upon thousands of dollars that they saved the church. Why did they do it? That's their gift. That's how God has made them to serve in that way. Another behind, and you know, we come, I walked them like, looks good. Oh, the number of hours that went into that. I was here a few weeks ago, and I sit over in the lobby for my office because we don't have a lot of offices here. And so I was looking over in the library, and as I looked over in the library, I noticed a team of people. There were maybe seven or eight people, and man, they were there, and they kept meeting and meeting and meeting. I'm like, I got to know what's going on here. Like, no restroom breaks. They're just meeting. And I looked over, and it was our Young at Heart ministry. I don't know the exact ages, but it's like maybe 60-ish or above. And what they were doing is they were behind the scenes planning all the ministries of the year. And I just thought, way to go, because they're finding a place and they're serving the Lord through no insignificant ministry. Now, we could look at that, and you could even look at it in the vision statement, and you could say, well, I mean, is it really that important? I mean, that it's on the vision statement? I mean, is serving that important? Yeah, it is. It is that important. Because the only way the church can be the church, the only way we can change the world, is if we do it together and if we serve together. In fact, service is so vital that the Apostle Paul says in Romans 14:12, and this is intended as a sobering thought for each of us, he says, each one of us will one day give an account of our lives to God, and that includes our service. Now, that doesn't mean that a person who follows Jesus and says, I'm not into the whole serving thing, that doesn't mean they don't go to heaven. It's not saying that. But what it is saying is that it's so important that we find a place to lock in and to serve the Lord. Again, could be within the church, could be outside of the church. Lots of different ways. But everybody's hands on deck serving, it's so important that Paul says one day God is going to look at those things and he's going to have each person give an account. Now, the place where I am weak, and you're going to recognize this when I say it, but I have some flaws in my own leadership, and unfortunately, there's a flaw in the church as a whole. There's lots of flaws in different churches, and one of the things that can happen in churches is that people can give this clarion call. We all must serve. We all must get involved. Everybody is important. Everybody is value. Everybody has a role to play, and then we don't say at all where you might do that, or what your next step is. So, at least on this day, I'd like you to grab your insert in your program. So please take this out. This is the practical piece. So grab it, if you would. And it is called Serve One. And what that means, Serve One, is finding one way to serve, okay? So it's our Serve One insert. This is the next step and I'd like us to look it over. The whole idea with Serve One is if you currently do not have any place where you're serving, where you're like, okay, that's a place that I'm serving, I would encourage you to look this list over and find a way to get in the game and to find a way to serve. Or let's say, for example, that you feel like you're serving once a month. So you serve once a month and do something for a couple of hours, and you're like, you know, I have a couple other hours in my month, and you want to find someplace else to serve. You can take a look at this list, and you could, like, serve one plus, okay? So you can do something in addition as well. And this is the way it's set up. And this is really, I didn't do this, this is really good. It's got the ministries at the top, and so you can read them. Children's ministries, and then it has community groups, and if you turn it over, then it has facilities, that's under Pastor Tom, then it has Healthy Harvest, that's under Kim Roth, and then it has Worship Arts with Ephraim, okay? And then what it has is it has a little vision statement after each of those areas. So for example, children's ministries. Join us to help kids begin their spiritual journey, grow in relationship with Jesus, and prepare to be sent out to serve our world. So that's part of their vision, what we want to see happen in kids' ministries. After that vision, it's got volunteer openings. What this means is there are some opportunities, there are some places. Sometimes we can look around at the church and we go, look at all the people. There's so many people, there's probably nothing for me to do. There's no, yes, there is. There's nowhere for me to serve. Yes, there is. And so it's got the actual openings. Then it's time commitment. You're like, is this an hour a week? Is this 4 hours a week? And so we have time commitment. And then there's the contact person at the bottom. You can email that person and talk to them about what the various ministries look like and how you could be involved. So I'm just asking that we would look at this and find ways to serve. Now, the final thing I'll say about that is we have some tables in the lobby, and you can identify the tables. There's one on the back wall, and there's one in the corner, and what they say on them is Serve One. It's the same logo. It's the Serve One. And we're going to have people at each of those tables, and there are sign-up sheets at each of those tables, 5 sign-up sheets under each of the areas that I've just read to you there. And I would encourage you, if you haven't found an area to get involved, find one of those, or it could be something else, and sign up on that sheet. That does not mean that you're saying, I am ready to serve for the next 6 years of my life. Okay, that's not what that's, you're not signing on the dotted line. What you're saying is, I have interest to learn more about this ministry. And then that ministry leader will contact you and talk to you about some of the specifics of that ministry. Is that a next step or what? Isn't it? That was the staff. That wasn't me. They just did such a beautiful job lining that up. And I appreciate that so very much. The only way the church ever achieves the goals that God has for us is if each of us take a little piece. We don't each do everything because we can't, but we each do a little something, and it all comes together to serve the Lord and to create one effective body of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we want to have all the parts working together. And I pray that even today, that for many of us, that this would be a day where we would check some things out and find some areas that we might be able to plug in and get involved. And maybe it's not under these 5 headings. Maybe it's a different area. And I pray that whatever it is, that each and every person will find at least one way to serve you, because you have prepared these things ahead of time that we would walk in them. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.